all, this is Lindley from English for International Students, and you're listening to episode 8. We haven't produced any new content since last May, but we're back. You guys have been so awesome in sharing the podcast with your English learning friends, and over the summer, we had around 1,500 people listening every day. What? Thank you guys so much for sharing English for International Students with all your people. Last semester, we were busy teaching and brainstorming new content for the podcast, but we're finally back in action. Not only are we back with new episodes, but we have a new and improved website. Check out EnglishForInternationalStudents.com and then go and send the link to everyone you know. This semester, you won't be hearing so much from Rachel and Rachel, unfortunately. We're happy for them. They've moved on to bigger and better things, but I will be sticking around and we'll also have a lot of help from Elizabeth, who's doing work behind the scenes. Hopefully you'll hear from her as well sometime soon. Okay, so that's all the updates in English for International Students news. Today you'll be hearing some important information about housing. You'll hear everything you need to know about renting a place here in the States. You'll hear from my mom, Leanna, from the perspective of a landlord. And mom, how long have you been a landlord?
A little over 20 years.
And then you'll hear from Rachel.
Hello, I am Rachel Winfrey. I'm a master's candidate in the Applied Linguistics program from Houston, Texas, and I've had probably about 12 roommates in my life.
She'll be speaking from the perspective of a renter, also known as a tenant. First, let's get started with some tips from my mom, a longtime property owner and landlord. I sat down with her and asked her for the lowdown on housing. Here's what she had to say.
I am so excited to be sitting here with my mom today, and she is going to be talking with us about housing. She is a landlord, and her name is Leanna Jones. So just kind of to start out with, what are some terms that you think tenants should familiarize themselves with? So just what are some important words that people might need to know?
They would need to know about the length of the lease, late fee policies, what is your application process,
okay,
your screening process. If you move in at the middle of the month, do you do prorated rent?
Okay, and what's prorated rent?
That would be like by the day, you know, a partial month's rent.
Oh, okay. So if someone didn't move in on June 1st, they moved in on June 15th, mm-hmm, then they would only pay
a half a month's rent.
Okay. Do some landlords not do that?
I would think some would only want to go from the first of the month, okay, on, but I would think most would. Most would do the prorated,
okay,
rent.
Interesting. Okay, so you mentioned some things that people should be aware of to look for in the lease and things like that. What would be a usual question for a tenant to ask their landlord before they move in?
What kind of payment method do you expect from me? Will you take a personal check? Do you require a money order? Will you take cash? We don't personally take cash.
Okay.
We just prefer a written,
okay,
copy.
Just to have a paper trail,
mm-hmm,
for your records?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what kind of payment they accept? Then you already mentioned the things to look for in the lease. I have a question for you, and this might be a cultural thing, but do you think landlords would be annoyed if a tenant asked questions about things that were also in the lease? Would you expect your tenants to have just read the lease and understood it?
Oh, no. It would definitely be acceptable to ask any questions. It's better to have an understanding of what you're reading and expected to sign.
Okay, good to know. Okay, so I know that every property might be slightly different. Could you give us just some examples of the types of properties that there are? What kind of places could someone rent?
Well, there's always apartment complexes, which we don't own apartment complexes, but we own duplexes and triplexes and multiple units,
okay,
that are side by side, and we own some houses,
okay,
that, you know, just a normal home that we lease out.
Okay, So when it comes to maintenance policies, I know that an apartment complex might have completely different set of rules, but you could speak to the kind of property you own. Mm-hmm. What would be a typical maintenance policy in terms of who does what?
Many times you're expected to take care of your own extermination of bugs, okay. Small repairs,
okay.
Plumbing, if it's anything that is caused by something you've done to cause a drain to stop up, say hair okay. in the drain or something you've put down the sink.
Oh, okay.
But if it's anything that's structural, say from trees getting in, that would be something that the landlord would take care of. And many landlords will spray for bugs and all, but it's just good to be clear up front who does what and what's expected. Now, the houses that we have, we expect people to take care of the lawns also.
Oh, okay.
So they need to mow their own lawns and water so that water the grass and the trees so that we don't lose any of that between tenants or during a certain lease time.
Okay, so that brings up another question. If someone is required to, let's say, exterminate for bugs, or their landlord does not exterminate for bugs, could their landlord require that the tenant do it or pay for it, have that service done?
They could require it. It's pretty hard to keep track of unless roaches are moving from one property to the next, say in okay. the multiple. Yeah, if they're, it's like obvious that you're not taking care of yours.
Okay, that makes sense. That's good. Good thing to ask about ahead of time. So if a tenant did have a maintenance problem that they felt like their landlord should resolve and the landlord wasn't taking care of it, could they refuse to pay their rent?
Well, they could refuse, but that's actually not acceptable because you are required by your lease to pay your rent. It's something that could be brought up and asked if, you know, they could repair it and then take it off of their rent or something like that. But for us, small repairs mm-hmm. are required by the tenant.
Okay.
But anything that's, say, over $75 is required for us. It's in the lease that we will take care of that. And it's really best if you ask your landlord before you have something done to see if they will do it or if they expect you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Some landlords don't want you doing much of anything, especially without their permission, because you know you don't want to do anything that's going to harm any of the appliances or mm-hmm. walls or anything like that.
Oh, that makes sense. Maybe if someone had someone unqualified because they were cheaper to come and fix something, it could create more damage.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So in general, what do you think tenants should look for in a landlord?
Well, if possible, you could ask some of the other tenants renting from this landlord if mm-hmm. they take care of things in a timely manner, if they're easy to get a hold of,
yeah.
You know, what kind of people they have, you know, working for them, who comes in the property and stuff like that. That's just would be something good to ask if they're known to take good care of their property and their tenants.
Oh, that's a good idea. So have you ever had someone ask you like for references basically, or asked to speak to other tenants?
Actually, I never have.
Well, people need to be doing their homework a little better, okay. Maybe. So that's what they could look for in a landlord. What should they look for when they're looking at a prospective property? If they were thinking to rent a place, what should they look out for?
Well, I would go in and look and see if there's evidence of bugs or mice.
Okay.
If the property's clean, if the carpets have been taken care of,
mm-hmm.
if the paint has been taken care of, check the windows, make sure they're good windows mm-hmm. or
functional.
Yeah, okay. And the doors, stuff like that. Maybe even check on the appliances. Make sure that all the appliances work, that they don't. We don't supply all appliances, but the ones that we furnish, you certainly want to make sure that they're in good working order.
So for places that don't furnish the whole apartment, what kind of appliances could someone expect to typically find in any place that they rented?
Most places will have a refrigerator, but not all will. And the dishwasher, if it's built in.
Okay.
Some would supply a washer and dryer. We don't supply those in any of ours. And of course, you're going to have your stove and oven in all of them.
Okay, that makes sense. So how are bills typically handled in a rental situation? So you have your rent, but then you have the other utility costs. How are those usually handled?
Most of the time, you would be expected to pay your electricity and water, garbage, sewer, and all of that, gas. In some of our multi-family units, we supply the water because we don't have separate meters for each different unit.
So there would be no way to tell who used what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we take care of that. But most of ours, you take care of all of your bills.
So we've talked some about what tenants can expect from their landlords in terms of maintenance and things like that. What can a landlord require or ask of their tenants?
Well, to pay your rent on time.
Uh-huh.
To, of course, take care of the property, to let us know if something is going wrong in the property. We would not want something to be left undone.
Okay.
And we would expect, again, to take care of the grass and the trees and stuff like that in the homes.
Okay. This is a question I've heard come up with international students. But is the landlord allowed to go into the tenant's apartment or house without the tenant knowing?
Well, actually, by law, they are allowed to go in there.
Yeah.
We try to never do that without letting the tenant know ahead of time.
Okay.
But it's usually in the lease that is allowed. But if you find a landlord that's doing that unnecessarily or without good reason, that would be a cause for concern.
Okay, that makes sense. I know that surprises a lot of people because in other countries, a landlord is not allowed to go in unless
really?
The person is present.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So when we talked a little bit earlier about the lease that's set up at the beginning when a person first moves into an apartment, and so obviously they would have to pay their rent at that time, probably for their first month. Are there any other costs that people typically have to pay when they first move into a new apartment or a house?
Mm-hmm. You have to put down a deposit.
Oh, okay.
And a deposit is to secure the property. It's a protection for the landlord so that if you cause any damage to the property, it will be taken out of your deposit when you move out. So if you haven't left the place clean or if you've caused damage, that money will be used to clean the apartment or repair a hole in the wall or anything. And then other fees would be if you have pets. Oh. If you have a pet in the apartment, which some landlords allow that, you have to put down a non-refundable pet deposit. So you will never get that back.
Okay.
And then you most of the time would have to pay an additional amount of rent each month for a pet.
That makes sense. Yeah, and that would be a good thing to ask a roommate, too, if they ever wanted to, if they were ever thinking of having a pet, because I know some people would be less fond of that idea than others. We talked about some of the different kinds of apartments or housing that people could live in, but I also know that there's something called by-the-bed leasing. Could you describe what that is?
I would think that some landlords would allow you to just rent a room.
Okay.
And they would have a specific cost for that. And then, of course, the common areas would be, I've assumed, for everyone. We've never done by-the-bed leasing, but there would be a bigger turnover rate if you're going, I would think, by the bed. So you would not have to sign a year's lease for that. It might just be for a semester or something. I'm not real familiar with by-the-bed leasing.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard of that where maybe the homeowner lives in the home and then they just rent out a room, something like that. Maybe that would be the case. In a case where you are renting an entire apartment or you're renting a house, something like that, I know that some people purchase renter's insurance. Could you talk a little bit about what that is and what it does for you?
It protects your properties. Anything that you move into the home will be protected by renter's insurance. You cannot expect the landlord's insurance to cover any of your belongings. Any insurance they have would be just for the structure, but it won't be for anything that the tenant moves in there. So it's definitely a good idea to get renter's insurance. Okay. To protect your belongings should anyone happen to break in.
Okay. And is it required by law that every renter have insurance?
It's not required by law, but it is definitely suggested. And it usually will say that in the lease that they would like for you to have it.
Okay. And is it expensive?
It's not terribly expensive. It's certainly better than losing your belongings. So I think it's very affordable.
That makes sense. Okay, well, thanks so much. Is there any other advice that you would have for a potential tenant, a new renter moving in? Anything they should look for or think of or know of ahead of time?
There's sometimes people want to break a lease.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, you know, it's certainly not a good thing to do, but there are certain things that come up that you need to break a lease. Maybe you've taken a job somewhere else.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you need to check and see if you're going to be expected to totally fulfill the lease, say for a year, and you need to move out after 6 months. Are you going to have to pay that 6 months extra rent? Many times, if you're in good terms with your landlord, they will only make you pay until they have the property re-rented.
Oh.
But your name is on that contract, and so you really are expected to fulfill that. But that might be something good to ask before you move in. What are the grounds for breaking a lease? And you definitely want to ask, too, what late fees are should you happen to be late a few days on your rent. You want to find out all those additional costs.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, excellent. Well, thanks so much. Really appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
So that's the nuts and bolts of renting from the perspective of a landlord. What about from the perspective of a tenant? Let's hear what Rachel had to say.
Okay, here we are sitting down with Rachel. So let's just dive right in here with some questions. So if you are about to move into a new place, let's say an apartment or a rental house, what are some of the first things you want to do?
Well, I generally will decide what side of town I want to live on. I'll do some research about the area and how far away it is from school or my job. And then I'll look at prices of apartments compared to houses. So I generally will start with pricing and go from there. Once I find a place to look for, I'll go and inspect it and, you know, take a look and get as much information as I can about the place before I ever even speak with a landlord.
Okay. Most of the time. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's say you choose a place and you know that's where you want to move in. What are some things you might do right away? I've heard of, like, for instance, maybe if you move into an apartment complex, sometimes they give you a piece of paper where you're supposed to record any issues, you know, any broken items or issues with the paint, anything like that. Can you think of anything?
Yeah. Usually it comes, you know, on a piece of paper and there's like a checklist for every bedroom. And so what I do is I go around before any furniture's in it, before I've moved anything inside of this place. You go and you look at the walls, you make sure there's no holes in the walls or black marks along the wall. You make sure in the flooring, you look like in the corners, make sure that there's nothing ripping up from the floor. You look at the appliances, make sure they all work, make sure none of them are cracked or broken. You know, make sure the sink works, make sure that you open the cabinets even and look in there, make sure there's nothing crazy going on, nothing broken or any water damage or any mold in the house. You just, an overall inspection, and you record it on a piece of paper. That way, whenever you move out, you don't get charged for any pre-existing damage.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely go and inspect every single room.
Okay. So you mark that stuff down, and that way you can tell the landlord if there's a problem, but also that way you can get your deposit back if they're trying to say you're responsible.
Exactly.
Very good. So I've heard that some people even take pictures of that kind of stuff so that it's very clear that those things were already there. Yeah. Very good advice. So if you want to move into a new place and you don't want to live by yourself, what are some things that you consider when you're looking for the best roommates?
Most of the time when I'm looking for a roommate, I generally try to stick to people who I know mm-hmm. or people that know people that I know. So mutual okay. friends most of the time, but that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't know the person and I'm looking for someone and it comes up that, you know, there's a possibility that I might be able to move in with someone who I don't know very well, I generally will ask them, you know, like how clean are you? Are you a clean person? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of job situation do you have? Are you going to be able to pay rent on time and bills on time? And also just, I like to kind of get to know how the other person's overall opinion of how their home life should be, like what they want, how they live, essentially, mm-hmm. like what that is for them, and make sure that it meshes with mine, because you know, it's uncomfortable whenever you and your roommate have two different definitions of how your house should operate. So I generally try to just communicate about that kind of stuff before I move in with someone.
Okay, so let's say we're sitting down together and I am potentially a roommate. How would you actually ask me some of those things? How might you say that?
Well, I would ask you, so how are you on cleaning in the house? Like, do you have high expectations? Are you very clean? Or is it something that you kind of only get to on Sundays? You know, like, what's your idea of a clean house? Also, like, what do you expect from me? What is it that, you know, you want me to bring to the table? And what is something, you know, like, what do you have a goal? Like, we have a garden in my house. We talked about that before I moved in. So it's kind of just two basic questions, really.
Okay.
So maybe just, what do you expect from me as a roommate? And how do you define cleanliness, really?
Okay, so can I ask you a personal question? Mm-hmm. Are you usually the clean roommate or the not-so-clean roommate?
I am the clean roommate.
Okay, good.
I am a very clean roommate.
So. Okay, nice. So I'm assuming you have had roommates. What is kind of the best experience you've ever had with roommates?
The best experience I've ever had was probably right before I moved to Lubbock. I was living with two other people. One of them was my best friend and the other one was my cousin.
Okay.
So it was very easy to live in that house. And we just always communicated. We, you know, we're very direct with each other and our house was always clean. We always just had a good time and never really gotten any conflicts, mainly because we just talked about everything. But it was easy to talk to those girls because I knew them so well. But
yeah,
it was great. I lived with them for 3 years.
Oh,
wow. It
was
awesome. Yeah.
Excellent. So it's always good to hear about a good roommate experience. Sometimes they are few and far between. So what's the worst experience you've ever had with a roommate?
Oh, this is a fun question. Okay, so the worst experience was probably my second apartment that I've ever moved into. And I moved in with someone who I didn't know very well. Mm-hmm. And this is how I learned to communicate with people before I decided to live with them.
Okay.
Because this particular person and I had two completely different definitions about personal space.
Oh.
And she would come into my room all the time and take clothes out of my closet.
Wow.
Or use my bathroom towels or my shoes. I mean, I would come home and I would find my stuff missing and in her bed. Or I would come home and there would be like 8 people in my tiny apartment.
Yeah.
All just like drinking and partying. And, you know, I'm in the middle of school. It's in the middle of a school week for me. And the house is very small. And so there was not really, she kind of just invaded my space and didn't really respect me that much.
Yeah, no boundaries.
No boundaries. And she had a horrible temper.
Oh, wow.
So she
what
would,
a treat.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a year long, and it was very difficult.
Wow.
But we ended on good terms, so there was that.
Good. Did she take any of your stuff with her when she left?
Yeah, actually, she did. Okay. But because I can be a little feisty sometimes,
okay.
I definitely went through her boxes when I found out that some of my stuff was missing when I was packing up the house.
And you found things?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Well, way to be on top of things. Yeah. Way to be vigilant.
Thanks.
So you mentioned kind of roommates and boundaries, those kind of things. How do you and your roommates typically decide on responsibilities and chores? Who will do what? What kind of stuff do you share? How do you handle that?
Okay. Well, currently, like I've said, I've had a lot of roommates. So what I've found that works best is we kind of just talk about the things that we like to clean versus the things that we hate to clean.
Okay.
And it works out because I love cleaning the kitchen. It's really fun for me. It's relaxing.
Okay.
And my roommate hates it. She's like not about cleaning the kitchen, but I can't stand a vacuum and she loves to vacuum. So we kind of just have a balance of power in that I do stuff that she doesn't like, she does stuff that I don't like, and it just kind of works together well, but we did talk about it.
Okay.
And we did say, okay, you know, I can do the kitchen, but I hate vacuuming. She was like, well, that works. You know, I'll do the floors. So she's in charge of the floors and I'm in charge of like the surfaces in the kitchen.
Okay.
And we both we'll take our recycling together. We kind of just really have, we talked about having like one day a week every Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
We spend about 2 hours cleaning, like deep cleaning our house a week.
Okay.
And we also have a rule that if you bring something out of one place and leave it in another, like you're responsible to put that item back where it belongs.
Okay.
So essentially just we communicate about picking up after ourselves continuously.
Okay.
So we worked out a system, and it doesn't always work, but we are on top of it every Sunday, so that's good.
There's a reset button.
There is a reset button.
So what if you and your roommate agree to certain responsibilities, but you notice your roommate isn't taking care of their stuff? What would you say to them?
I find, for me personally, and I kind of have found this with all of my roommates, so it seems like a foolproof system. I'm just pretty direct.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to be polite and respect other people and, you know, their humanity, and so you don't really want to attack anyone. But if something's bothering you in the house, it's much better to get it off your chest as soon as possible. That way no tension is built up and there's no awkwardness.
Uh-huh.
Even though it can be awkward being direct, I typically will just say, hey, you left this on the table and it's gross. Can you pick it up? Or we need to pick up, or I'll make it a collective statement also sometimes if it's really bad, because sometimes it's hard to tell who made what mess.
Yeah.
And getting kind of tit for tat or focusing on who did what constantly is not really the best communication strategy between roommates. So typically I kind of just will make it a collective statement and be like, we need to clean. Are you guys down to clean right now? You know, can we get it moving? You want to do it later? Okay, cool. As long as we do it today, I'll be all right kind of thing. So,
yeah, that makes sense. So what about communal items? Like I know when it comes to, say, food or maybe furniture that's in a common space, things like that, I think maybe food is probably the biggest struggle. How do you usually handle that with a roommate?
Okay. This is fun, actually. Food is one of the hardest things, like worse than cleaning, I think, to kind of protect or communicate about as roommates, typically because it costs you money, right?
Yeah.
So you're invested literally in your food.
Yes.
So it can be a very touchy subject. But what's interesting is that, like, I mean, you kind of just have to make sure that you're moving in with somebody that you can trust.
Yeah.
Because my roommate typically doesn't touch my food, really. We don't eat the same thing, so it's kind of easy to keep our food separate. But we do share a lot of produce.
Okay.
And so our rule is that we just, whoever bought it, whoever paid for it, like I bought a bag of apples, essentially.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, I'm not going to eat 15 apples in a week, and they go bad pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So my roommates and I shared the apples. But our rule is that if we didn't pay for it, we don't eat the last piece of it.
Okay, yeah.
So there's always something left over, you know, for the person who bought it, at least. And if that falls through, and let's say they do eat all my apples, you just replace it.
Okay, they should buy more
exactly.
apples.
Exactly, they would buy more apples. And we talk about it. And the trick is, what I've learned is just to kind of keep calm and not be confrontational. And just kind of say, hey, you know, you ate my last box of mac and cheese. Are you cool to get me another box? Because I really would like some currently.
Yeah.
And it's your fault it's gone. No, but that's pretty. We just kind of talk about it and call attention to things, really.
Yeah.
But if we're sharing groceries and stuff, you kind of just have to be aware of yourself and make sure that you're not cleaning out the last of the produce or using it more than other people.
Yeah.
So I've just found that communication works best when it comes to all that stuff.
Good. That makes a lot of sense. So oftentimes roommates are considering things like sharing food, who will clean what. Then there's also the issue of paying the bills.
So how do you usually handle the bill thing with a roommate?
Okay, so the bill thing, you have to be organized about, especially if you're living with more than one person.
Yeah.
And even with just one other roommate, you just need to be organized about it. You need to have we have a common space on our fridge.
Okay.
So we have like a piece of paper with magnets, you know, and we'll write the bill amounts that are due for the month.
Uh-huh.
And like the internet's in my name, mm-hmm. the gas and the electricity is in my roommate's name.
Yeah.
And that's really, and with the gas and the electricity, there's like, I think, water and other stuff that we're charged for. So she has that in her name. And so I'll put up, we know when the bills come out of each other's bank accounts every month.
Yeah.
So we're just really organized. We have the dates written down on a calendar or the paper. Mm-hmm. Currently it's a paper because we haven't gotten a new calendar yet.
Okay.
But we'll pin stuff to the calendar. We'll pin itemized receipt or the statement. We'll pin the statement to the fridge and like circle the amount and circle the due date and kind of just, we have Venmo, which is like a money sending app.
Yeah.
So it's really easy. You essentially just like text the money to the roommate, you know, whose bill is in their name or whatever. So my roommate, for instance, I just send her, so our Atmos bill, let's say it's like $170.
Mm-hmm.
It's like electricity and whatnot, and obviously I'm responsible for half of that. But because I pay for Suddenlink out of my personal bank account, she's responsible for half of that. I kind of just subtract the difference between her, like the Suddenlink bill, and send her what's left over for the electricity and stuff.
Yeah. So Venmo has made that so convenient. I know a lot of people really use it. Even if they go out to eat together and they want to split the bill, something like that, they'll just transfer the money.
Venmo's a great way.
And it's free, right?
It's free and it's quick. And once you transfer the money, it only takes about 24 hours to get into your bank account most times.
Sweet. Very cool.
Yeah. I've paid rent with Venmo.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So if your friend is not paying their part of the bills, sometimes money can be a sensitive topic. And it sounds like you like to take a direct approach, which I think is great. But what would you say, what specifically would you say if someone has not paid their part of the bills?
This can get a little awkward.
Yeah.
But typically I will just mention it and be like, hey, I paid Atmos already. And whenever you have the money, when do you think you'll have it? Because it's currently been about a week and I'm kind of running low on cash and I could really use your half of the bills.
Yeah.
So I think if you kind of just present it like, hey, this is done and over with. It's been, you know, a solid amount of time. And now I would like I would need the bill money.
Yeah.
Sometimes a conflict can arise out of that. Or like, let's say your roommate is going through some financial troubles and doesn't have the money at the time. It can be very tricky if you are trying to cover your roommate's expenses,
mm-hmm.
Or if you have to wait for them to, you know, get the money in time. And with that, you write it down. You write it down. If they don't have time to pay you back, first you address the situation. Yeah. I would address it. And I would say, hey, you know, like I said earlier, I'm running low. I really need the bill money. Mm-hmm. How are you with that? Are you able to give that to me today, tomorrow? When can you give it to me? So you get a specific date. And then if it's like, let's say, I have to wait till next paycheck. Let's say they can't pay the bills this month and then they'll pay you double next month. Write it down.
Yeah.
Write it down and put it in a public space. There needs to be some sort of accountability for where the money is going. That way, you know, because people forget. We're only human. And it's with money, it can be really tricky. And so the more organized and like, you know, vigilant you are, I guess, about recording, you know, when the money was given to you or when it's going to be given to you and putting it in common space and drawing attention to it, the better, I think.
Yeah, that's very good. And I like that you pointed out that oftentimes Americans will say, I'm running low, which is like my excuse for asking you about money. It's not embarrassing to us to say, hey, I'm tight on cash or I really need your part of the rent. So where is that?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so what is something unexpected that you've experienced living with a roommate?
Something unexpected is actually perfect for my current roommate experience, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I moved in with one of my best friends for like 6 years, and we've never lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved in with her when I moved to Lubbock to go to school. And at first, you know, it was really good finding your stride or becoming comfortable in the home with your roommate takes a while. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it can take a couple weeks, couple months. But what I did not expect was that there would constantly be people in my house. Mm-hmm. And I never really mentioned it when we moved in, you know, because I'm in grad school, so it's pretty demanding in terms of, like, studying and reading and, at, you know, my workspace. Like, I need, during the week, like, I need quiet mm-hmm. or for there not to be a lot of people in my house. And she's got a pretty big family, and so our house has turned into a revolving door of humans. Oh. And at one point, I came home, and there was, like, five people in my house, and it was like her sisters and like friends, and it was just overwhelming. And that's something that I was not prepared for and I haven't experienced yet, was her open door policy to her family and friends, which is cool because I love her family and friends, and I know that she likes to hang out with them, and you know, you want to see your family, and I get it, but it's just quite often their family is very close, and yeah. So that many people in my house that often is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So that was unexpected, and I had to address that, and we're cool now. But yeah, at first, I didn't expect to be around so many people all the time.
Yeah. That can be really intense.
Yeah, it was.
So you said you're cool with it now. Did you talk about it directly?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. Mainly because they were eating all my food, right?
Oh,
like, food's no. Food's a tricky subject.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, if you're going to have people over, can you at least give me a heads up so I know that I, you know, can't study here today, or yeah. I'm just prepared for the fact that there's going to be multiple people in my home. Mm-hmm. And also, if they're going to eat our food, like, you know, would you mind compensating and, like, replacing the groceries that your friends ate that yeah. you invited over? It's your responsibility kind of thing. So we worked that out, and it's great now.
Good, so. Wonderful. So you've shared a lot of good information about living with roommates, renting a house. Is there any other advice that you might want to give to someone looking for housing?
Yeah, I think that if you're looking for housing around here, especially as a student, talk to people in your department. Talk to your classmates. Mm-hmm. Find out where they live, how close it is to campus. It's nice to find this information from other people because they've already lived in that place. So they're already going to have, like, an insider's perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they might know a really good spot and give you, you know, some really valuable information on a cool place to live. So I think maybe just talking to people in the community and, you know, finding out more about the areas of town and your options. Mm-hmm. Mainly just making sure you're really covering all of your options, because there's a lot of places to live and a lot of inexpensive, nice places to live. So doing research about it, I think, is probably the best advice I can give.
Okay, great. Rachel, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, of course. It was lovely.
Thanks so much to my mom and Rachel for their time and wisdom. We hope you enjoyed learning about rental property here in the U.S., You can find additional resources, like an example lease and a review of important vocabulary from this episode, on our website, englishforinternationalstudents.com. If you want to be our best friend, you'll find us on iTunes and give us all the stars. Giving us a rating on iTunes helps new listeners find us, so help us out. Next time, we'll be talking about accessing healthcare in the U.S., so be sure to check it out. As always, thanks for listening. Thank you.